Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. I want to apologize for the less than stellar audio quality on this particular episode, and I hope that it won't distract too much from the really great content. In this episode, Dr. Stephen Cervantes and I dive into the theme of emotional growth and the importance of relationships among men. We start by sharing some personal stories about our dads and male role models, highlighting how men often prioritize being providers over nurturing emotional connections. A key highlight of this episode features a movie character from our Gateway to Freedom workshop who realizes his potential after being told, "You could have been great." This statement is loaded with powerful insights for men when they realize that their lives are running on the wrong tracks. We want men to experience their full potential as image bearers of God, to know Him fully and love others deeply. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For more men's integrity resources, visit bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening because this really does help others to find it. Now, let's dive into today's conversation with Stephen. All right, Dr. Stephen Cervantes, how's it going today?
I am good, Jonathan. Dr. Jonathan, it's really good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, together again.
And it's good to see you this time back to your standard attire, you know, this crisp white shirt. So looking good.
Yay. The world is normal and safe again. When you and I are talking, it's like all is well for a few minutes. It's too funny because I'll hear guys say something they heard on the podcast. They'll just quote it or they'll text it to me or say something. And it's just like, God is doing something.
Yeah.
You know, things are going around. And the whole idea that men get together to encourage men. I was thinking about how many men spoke into your life early. You know, how many men spoke into my life? And we're just getting smarter and smarter. We know more now. And, you know, but like our fathers and how much language and
Well, and that's and even just the fact that those are things that, need to be shared with other men, right? There's a generational thing where, and what we're trying to do here is, obviously we can't be anyone's pastor or father
or counselor,
but you know what, we can come alongside as a voice that's just trying to say, hey, can we give some wisdom? Can we try to give some insight to help you take some?
And you've heard my line.
Next steps.
I just wanted my father to tell me stories and use language and educate me. And then I could build on what he already told me. And one of the sadnesses in my life is that my father was a private man. He kept things to himself. You know, here I was a kid watching him go through life and he didn't tell me about it. So it's really important. And I see my daughter doing such a good job. She's explaining everything to her sons. And daughter, and just, you know, taking the time, using the language, walking alongside the child. Now, I love my dad, and we just passed Father's Day. And so this is not a criticism. It's just an honest statement that he could have done better. I could have done better. You could have done better. We could all done better. And maybe we can learn. So the young men know, keep talking to your kids.
And that's actually a good segue about your dad kind of into what we're going to talk about today, about how sometimes, man, you're going along in life and you might be aiming at the wrong target and you're really missing out on the emotional growth. You're missing that emotional piece that could put you from like good to great in terms of relationships and all of that. So
I love what you just said. What if you're aiming for the wrong target and you spend a lot of energy and effort and you won't know it? The only way you might experience it, but if people are talking and you're listening, you're going to hear things and you can adjust yourself off what did they say and how do they see it and what are they thinking and what sounds richer and deeper? You know what I mean? We help each other on this journey.
Well, and I think especially for men, some of the ways that we can be aiming at the wrong target related to what we're going to be talking about here is we can get so focused on being a producer
right? Like, I just need to earn money. I need to produce, you know, I need to make sure my family has a home, and you know, all those things are fine and they are important. But if that becomes, if I do that to the detriment of like relationships and being able to know how to connect with people or even knowing my own emotional self, I'm going to be stunted.
And you're pretty good at the weekend about don't do too much self stuff.
Right, right.
If you get to be too much about yourself, but it's so weird because I think as we grow, we start with a lot of self. Mm-hmm. And as we age, it's less and less self. And I see you hitting the spot where the younger self, the younger important, the title, the position, the honor, the people, what's significant, right? You're sort of hitting that phase now, which is not success. This isn't even our topic. We're just having fun,
this
okay?
This is the intro. This is the cold open, right?
But then it's like, now you're listening for the significance. Right. And you're probably watching the older guys going, what's really significant? Because there's a lot of things that'll bring you success. And
well, and even I'm becoming the older guy.
Oh.
And so in some ways I'm starting to say, yeah, I'm looking back on my own life and going, hey, some of the things that I was aiming at, even though they're good,
yes,
they weren't really the sweet spot. You know, they weren't really the things that make a rich relationship.
You are so blessed. You got a couple of guys that are roughed up on the journey called life. And we're finding the good stuff and we're pointing it out to you. And this is a great podcast, yeah. If I could just pat myself or you on the back, you know? All right, we had a topic.
Is this where we tell them to rate and review the podcast?
Rate and review with a 5-star so we can bump up. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
So you mentioned the weekend. When just the listeners, if you're new with us, a lot of times if Stephen or I just say something about the weekend, we're talking about our Gateway to Freedom 3-day intensive workshop for men. And we do that over a weekend. And so there's lots of great teaching, lots of great like group time to process, but we also have a time on a Saturday night where we show a movie. We're not going to give the whole thing away because we want that to be a little bit of a surprise for guys that come.
Yeah.
But there is a character in this movie that just so represents the emotionally stunted man. Mm. The guy that never tapped into his what we might call his inner child, really understood how to be kind of embrace all those just raw and real and just innocent emotions.
Oh, and it's a woman, and she says one line, and it just, in every time I watch it, it just smacks me.
Oh, man.
Do you experience it the same way?
You just feel like the air come out of the room because it's just so
I didn't know that everybody else felt that way till right now. I just know when that line comes up and she challenges this man with this line. And it's just like, oh. There's just like, it's what you said. There's this, oh, a drop, you know, and what just happened. Because it's interesting how life parallels spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a Jesus statement. Come on, get in the game. Get in the real game. Get in the big game. Why are you playing in the sandbox? You know, instead of on the field, it's that kind of a thing.
Exactly. And the way this woman delivers this line, it's like there's so much like emotion. There's so much just you can sense a whole wide array of hope and disappointment and just the struggle and just feeling like, oh, you just missed it, you know.
But I think it's said with more love than judgment.
Absolutely. It's said with the pain of a friend.
Yes.
The pain of somebody who's been watching this person's life and going, you're aiming at the wrong target. You missed it. You know, just.
Oh, that's good. That's the backstory, is that he has missed it, right?
Because he's successful. He's got money, you know. But when it comes to his relationships, his family, he's in a desert. Like he has there's nothing thriving relationally in his life, and it's because of what she's gonna say.
Oh God,
she hits it,
and so it's really good what you just said because you put it in the context. This successful guy, he's at the top of his game. The big important people call him, right? Mm-hmm. But then you look at his family and his relationships.
He's got such a non-existent relationship with his dad. He doesn't. He never connects with his siblings. I mean, there's just a sense in which he's isolated. He's always on the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
All by himself. Right. So there's no.
So and I had not put it together the way you did. I just knew it punched me in the gut. Mm-hmm. It's such a strong statement. When a friend calls you out, when a friend says, "Come on, what are you doing?" You know. Knock it off. That's not the good stuff. And so that line, I'm very auditory, and when she says it, it just punches me in the gut. Stand alone, not, you described it beautifully,
yeah.
But it's like hitting me square, calling me higher, saying, come on, you are made for so much more.
Everybody wants to know what the line is now.
I'm like, not going to deliver the line. Set it up and deliver the line.
So they've been at a wedding. They're experiencing this great celebration, right? Of relationship, this covenant of these two people coming together. And there's a scene at the end of this where it turns out that she finds out that he ended up doing something that he previously had said he wasn't going to do. In other words, he reneged on his own integrity. And she looks at him, and just again, you can imagine a friend mm-hmm. with all of this anguish, the burden of just seeing this person who's really, it's sad. It's sad more than anything. She's looking at her friend and seeing this man who is just missed the mark completely.
That's right. Sad's a good word. She's not mad. No. She's not condemning, speaking down to. She's an equal friend that loves.
And with all the love and the friendship that she can muster, she looks at him and she says, you could have been great.
Pause. You could have been great. You have all the potential inside you. What are you doing? Don't you know how you're made? Don't you know what you are made for? You are made for greatness, and I can see it in it. I know that about you. Come on, what are you doing? Greatness is part of your design.
Yeah, and again, you know, I hope we've set it up well enough so that when you heard the line, you didn't immediately go to a place of shame, condemnation, anything like that, because this is a person who loves this guy. She truly does. She loves him like a friend. She loves him and is looking at him and realizing he doesn't see it in himself. Right. He doesn't see what he's missing. And you know what? I think, Stephen, this is part of what recovery is. I think it's part of what we need to mature in life. Do we have friends that are close enough that can look at us and say, man, brother, you could have been great. You've missed out on this thing.
Just love it when you just said that to me, because it means you know me. And look, because the Christ that lives in me, greatness is ours.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nothing short of greatness.
It's our identity.
Yes, right? Yeah. That's it. Greatness is your identity. And it could be loving greatly, or sacrificing greatly, or suffering, or giving greatly, right? Mm-hmm. Or being patient greatly. And you think about this. People are doing this all around, caring for an elderly person, right? Or giving money. I saw a guy at church, a couple of missionaries from Moldova came and spoke. And he said, we're trying to raise $2,000 so we can live on in this very poor country where half the people have fled. And I saw an older man, and I was sitting not far from him. He had some big bills in his wallet. They may have been $100 bills. He took three of these big bills out, and he quietly went over to the man, and he put it in the man's hand and whispered something and then walked back and sat down. And I thought, man, that man knows great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He acted great. He heard a great mission. He heard a man on a great assignment. He said, man, I'm all in. I am all in on this. That money in my wallet is not there for any small reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea of, if nobody ever told this to you, please think about this. If you've felt small and down, disregarded, you know, invisible, in the shadows. You were made for greatness. And she called out this man and said, come on, get in the real game of life.
So you express here that when you hear that statement, it sort of arrests your soul. Like it kind of just stops you in your tracks. So
yes.
Unpack kind of what's going on in your heart and mind when you hear that statement in that movie and it just sort of, you know, stops you.
Well, let me think about this a minute because I think it's true. And whenever you hear truth, I'm real auditory. Mm-hmm. So when someone says something and it's packed with truth, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I've sort of concluded the Holy Spirit slaps me and says, listen to this. This guy said this statement once. He said, I don't really care that much about what you say. Because, you know, he's got to figure it out. And that statement slapped me because every person is telling you about their life. Everybody's talking about how life's impacting them. Well, I don't care that much about what you say. It's like, you know, I'm like in me, you know, I don't need you. And that statement slapped me because that guy was too far inside himself to say, God made you and you're on a journey. And you are made for greatness because anybody in the kingdom, you think about it, if you get in the kingdom, it's because the Father said you're great.
Well, you know, now you've got a line that you come back with. You could say you could be great if you just learn how to listen, you know. So,
anyway. Yes, yes. But it just
I'm just saying this kind of a line has impact in a lot of different areas.
It does.
When the person's saying, I don't want to listen to you, and you're basically saying you're missing out on, I mean, you're not tooting your own horn. You're just saying anybody who's going to close off listening
yes.
is not going to mature.
Have you noticed that? That people tell stories when they talk, and the stories always are about their life.
Yeah.
What's happening, their victory, their losses. And have you gotten better at enjoying the stories that you listen to, do you think?
Better. I'm probably not where I would like to be.
No, but the journey is better.
Gotten better. Part of it is because I've realized in my own tendencies that how much I want to try to just get to what's the next step, that I've learned, you know what, that's not always what's necessary in hearing somebody's story, you know.
Let me help you. Right, let me jump in. It's like, but there's such honor in listening to someone, you know, and even someone that challenges you to freeze you and stop. You could have been great. You know, what was his response? We can't leave him hanging out there, but did he wake up? Did it end well? What happened? Because when we get called out, a response is required.
Well, and that's just it. The next few scenes, you just see there's a contemplative mood that he's in. It's almost like this was the pivotal turning point statement for him to start realizing, I need to look at some things in my life. Mm. And so I feel like this is the pivot point in the story there.
Oh, that's good.
Where he needed somebody that he respected yes. and cared for him yes. to say this to him at the moment he needed to hear it. Because he was hearing it in a moment where he was, guess what? He was caught in his lack of integrity. And it's like she was going to tell him right in that moment, that's it. That's where you're missing the mark. You're always about making the dollar. You're always about making the deal, even if it compromises your own integrity, which you know is right or wrong.
Right.
And so when she says you could have been great, she's not talking about finances or talking about all this stuff that he's already great at. Yeah. She's saying no as a person, as a friend, as, you know, someone with integrity. You could have been great. And that's where he started then realizing, I've got to look at this in a different way.
So this sort of triggers something deep in me. I think I've had a fear all my life that I was doing small things when bigger things could be done. Mm. And so, if I'm honest, I don't want to hear at the end of my life these words, "You missed it." Mm-hmm. You missed it. It was right there and you missed it. Or, you know, you tried, but you fell short. You didn't make it. Or, man, yes, you were hiking a trail, but you know you took the wrong path, don't you? And you got way down that path and you did a lot of things, but it was not the path you were supposed to be on.
Right.
I mean, to hear at the end of your life these things, and I really do think people wake up and go, oh my goodness, I thought it was this, and I was investing in that, and I spent my time here, and I put my money there. And or to say this, you were so close. You were so close, but you failed. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we're just going to have to give you a D because the A's and the B's are the right path. Figured it out, and okay, you get D for effort.
It makes me that particular line makes me think of the old Get Smart show. Missed it by that much. Just always was so close. But you know, again, I hope we've set up the context so that when you're saying what you're saying, you're realizing that you're not saying, "Oh man, I don't want this to happen at the end of my life because I'm so consumed with shame, or I'm so consumed with, you know, condemnation." Because you said, "Hey, the Christ lives in you, right?
Amen.
His Spirit is in you." But I hear a longing, right? And you said it earlier, because we have Christ in us, our identity is greatness.
Amen.
So this is more of a longing statement saying, I don't want to get to the end and realize, you know what? I was on the wrong path, or I was investing in the wrong things. So I'm hearing it more in that tone of like, what does it look like for us to say, no, this isn't about shame, but this is about saying, can we honestly look at our lives and say, where are we? What path are we on? What are we investing time and energy in?
And do we have the great program? The great plan? Do we have the great, you know, do we walk with the great one? Do we know that?
Yeah.
Right? So that, you know, nobody gives you a map. Have you noticed that in life? You know, no. And somebody.
Even, guess what? Even Jesus, people say, but look, you've got the Bible. Well, actually, you know what? That's true. But in many ways, that's a foundational thing that gets us to the point where Jesus looks at us and says, hey, follow me.
That's
guess
it.
What?
That's it.
He doesn't lay out the whole map for you, right? No. He says, you're going to walk with me. And that's very relational, isn't it? And so we don't have every step of the journey mapped out for us.
I keep looking for the map. And it'll say, in your 10s, in your 20s, in your 30s, do these. In your 40s, do these. In your 50s, do these things, you know. But nobody has a map. And we're doing the best we can. But if we follow the great one and we're on a huge assignment, right, which is walking with Jesus and following Abba and listening to the Holy Spirit, if we're working a great program, then great things happen. Mm-hmm. Haven't you seen some incredible things happen in your lifetime?
Oh, stuff that I would have never imagined. In fact, I look at that as just another layer of God's grace because I'm thinking, first of all, I don't deserve to have been rescued from what I was rescued from. Second of all, I don't deserve to get to see God do his best work in other people's lives. You know, so there's a sense in which I look at that and I'm going, that's great. It's not my greatness, but I get to be part of greatness because I get to be part of what God is doing.
Amen. The last gateway, and if you've ever been to a gateway, there's over a thousand guys out there that I'm talking to. The last gateway was incredible. All eight men sort of woke up and they got to write a new story. That weekend changed the lives of eight men. And I've been following them up with a few phone calls, and every one of them is a changed man. Now, are their lives hard? Sure. And people mad at them and hate them, and are they still healing and growing and blah, blah, blah? Yes, all that. But to be a part of watching eight men's lives change in one weekend, and they literally stand up and tell the rest of the group of men, this is what happened to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, these gateway weekends, you know, they're not cure-alls, so don't come in with too high an expectation. You know, you're going to walk out floating with the clouds. But there's an aha, an awakening that happens at these gateway weekends.
They're catalysts. Yeah, I see it all exactly. The time. Guys that feel stuck or they don't know what to do next. It just, it gets down to the levels that need to get to. It gets down to what you describe in here as the major things, right? And that's really what greatness is about, right? We're not saying, hey, we don't want to keep piddling around with minor things, right? We don't want to keep just kind of fumbling around on a path that we don't know if it's the right way to go or whatever. Let's get working on the major things.
And what do you think?
Well, I love what you put out here of some major things. The first is working on spiritual growth, which I think goes right in with the second thing you put there because they're intertwined, working on emotional growth, spiritual and emotional growth. I love the fact that those are the top of your list. Because here's the thing.
I love
so many guy. So many guys get very task-oriented. We can just identify with that. Like they'll say, tell me what to do. And we'll say, well, we're going to talk about what you feel. It's like, what are you talking about? I don't want to.
No, I'm care living about what from I'm, here up. Don't worry about the feelings.
What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Right? Instead of like, okay, how do you understand how to relate? How to emote? How to connect with God and to connect with others? And
be kind to yourself, right? In this process, we're human beings. We're created. We're in perfection, right? We're moving towards perfection.
And then I love how you
put Wait. You're on the first two still, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the first one is the spiritual, right? Yeah. God, right? Yeah, I was listening.
He is the great one, right?
The great one.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a guy was speaking. He said, look, you got to figure out just answer this one question. Were you created? Are you creating you? You can figure out if you're male or female today. Figure out. Just create yourself every day. You be the God and do whatever you want to do. You know, everything's just you're it. You're it. Or were you a created being? I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because, like, I didn't make me.
Yeah.
I'm lost most of the time. I'm looking for direction here, you know? And so it's like, okay, we're created beings. Now we have the order, right? Then it begs the question, who created me? What's the purpose? What's the mission? Man, our faith gives us so much definition, right? We're in a culture of chaos.
Yeah, and starting with God, it causes us to recognize that we are created. We're derivative. It causes us to recognize that we're dependent.
Yes.
These things that are good in order for us to live a great story,
amen.
Right? Because if it's not rooted in God, guess what? It's a minor thing. It's not going to be a great story. And so then with that spiritual foundation, now we can start being honest about the fact that we can say as men, you know what? I was never trained on emotional growth. I never had a good model of another man of how to navigate emotions well.
Well, and all those things about being filled with peace. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear, you know, you can get half the story right? A minister can preach all day long, but then he breaks down and is stupid because he didn't have it deep in his soul. He didn't have rest in his soul. He didn't have peace in his soul. But boy, he could say the right things. And it's like, you got to work on that emotional program. You got to be aware. And it's almost like God gave us this toolbox. Okay, love, sacrifice, patience, kindness, compassion, right? Mm-hmm. That here's the toolbox now, how to live life. Well, that's the emotional growth mission.
Right? Exactly. And then also this idea of developing my unique gifting. Mm-hmm. This is the beautiful thing, again, going back to God. God created us, right? He created us not just as some just creature to sort of set loose and not have any kind of purpose. He created us with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And what's that purpose? Well, we are made in his image. So there's a sense in which we're to be little reflections of him all over the place. But you know what? He did it communally. Mm. Meaning you reflect, Stephen, a part of God's image, right? But then when I come along, or when your wife comes along, or when the other members of the body of Christ come along, what happens?
We all reflect.
All these incredible different giftings start to express themselves, and you see the bigger picture of the purpose of the kingdom of God.
And what I love when you say community, that means belonging, right? Yeah. Are we alone with no direction? Where do I belong? Where do I fit in? Oh, no.
So back to this story of this guy. When I heard, when you look at this guy's life and how eventually he's becoming very alone and isolated,
yes.
Just think for a moment how you would think of the ending of a great life. Is it someone who's dying on their bed alone? Or is it someone who's dying with community around them?
Yeah.
With family, with people that love them, with people that
yes.
that know their story but have been loved well, and this person has sacrificed, this person has, you know, meaning to them.
Amen.
That's a great story.
And that's so powerful to catch that when somebody blesses you and thanks you and values you, man, that we've got to be operating on this love story, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the next point. Well, I'll jump down, is to receive love, to walk in love, to know love, to rest in love daily.
Yeah.
That's the how the system works.
Here well, we and then finally, of course, give all glory to God. He's the one that our lives are meant, the great story that we're to live out.
Yes.
Is for God's glory, and we get to benefit from that. So one thing I would say as we wrap up here is I hope by listening to this podcast, you'll realize that you can change the question to a statement. You can go from "you could have been great" to "you can be great."
Amen.
Because of the God who loves you, because of the Christ who died for you, you can be great. You can live into a great story.
And I think he says, this is my great Jonathan. This is my great Stephen. Come on in. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made us uniquely designed for to reflect what you said, this light in dark places and community that show who he is.
Yeah.
So,
well, we love that you've been with us. We want you to reach out to us. We want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ.
Amen.
And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time.
And read my blogs at drmarriage.org.
Yep.
Thank you.
See y'all.